Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally on 29 AM and FM radio stations 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on GM Foods right after this message. You know, with an income of $50,000 a year, you're paying $7,650 in Social Security taxes if you're self-employed, then shouldn't you subtract the $7,650 from the $50,000 income and then pay your income tax on the $42,350 balance instead of paying that 17% income tax on the whole $50,000 a second time? But you know as well as I do, the IRS makes you pay 15.3% of $50,000 in Social Security tax, and then they make you pay 17% of the same $50,000 in income tax. Now that means that you're paying that 17% of the $7,650 twice. And that little bookkeeping trick steals an extra $1,300 from everyone that pays this tax. Now, what would you think if Sears, Penney's, or your credit card company charged you twice, like Social Security and the IRS does? I thought you'd think that's just kind of special. Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call the law school at 417-273-4967, and be sure to ask for my free general law CD package while you're at it. Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. Tax and status is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send an email request for your free general law CD package. Why don't you do it right now before you forget? That's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. Well, the other day I sat down at the table and I asked the wife, there's a package sitting there, you know, a little cellophane baggie, and it had this white powder in there. And I thought, well, what's this, cocaine? No, cornstarch, she said. That's cornstarch in that little baggie. I said, oh, you've been to the health food store? And she said, yeah, I've been to the health food store. And I said, now I noticed that you've got this bag over here on the side of the table with this other junk over here that you're about to throw out. And she said, yeah, I'm about to throw that out. I said, well, you just bought this from the health food store. And she said, yeah, I just bought that. Paid $2.34 for that little baggie of cornstarch over there, and I'm going to throw it out. And I said, well, tell me the story. And she said, because it's GM, genetically modified. And I said, you got to be kidding. You bought this at the health food store. And she said, I did. Bought it at the health food store. And after I'd paid for it and checked out, the thought came to me. So I asked the clerk, is this GM free? And the clerk said, no, it's not. At least, we can't guarantee that it's GM-free. Now, you know, when you go into a health food store and you buy health foods, you expect a certain level of purity in the products that you buy. I mean, hell, we would buy our cornstarch down at Kroger's or Safeway's if we weren't concerned about genetically modified or pig in the product. You know, when I go into a Mexican restaurant, I always have to ask, is there lard in the refried beans? Most have lard, pig fat, in the refried beans. Now, some of them don't. When you go into a Chinese restaurant, you got to ask, do you put MSG in your food? Most of them do. But, you know, if you go into a Jewish delicatessen, you don't like to say, gee, do you have any pig in the bologna? I remember a restaurant out in California. It was in San Francisco, in the days when you could go into downtown San Francisco without fear. There was a restaurant down there called David's. And when you went into David's, nothing to brag about, it wasn't a very spectacular looking place. But when you went in there, you knew that there wasn't going to be any lard in the refried beans or any pork in the meatballs. Well, at least you had that confidence when you went in there. You presume that if you go into a Jewish restaurant, they're not cooking with pig. Well, when you go into a health food store, don't you presume when you go in there that there's no genetically modified foods? That this stuff is organic? I mean, that's why we go to health food stores and pay twice as much for the product, isn't it? I mean, I don't mind paying twice as much for the product, but I sure as heck don't like going into the health food store and walking out with a product that they can't guarantee me is GM-free. Well, we're moving toward an apocalypse in this genetically modified food industry. At least that's my prediction. That's based upon my experience. You take a look at the drug industry. Did you notice they've had to take off two or three of these very profitable drugs, rheumatism and arthritis drugs? They find out now that it causes heart attack. Well, hell, we all knew that it had side effects. All drugs do. You just don't know what they are until they experiment on the human population for a period of years. They experiment on dogs and cats, you know, for the first 6 months, and once they find the dose level, that is the level at which it doesn't kill dogs and cats anymore, you feed it to the people, and you do that for 5 or 10 years until you find out how many people it kills, and then you pull it off the market. By then, you've made several $1 billion, and you come up with some new drug. You never come up with a cure, you come up with a new treatment. Now, we know how that game is played. Now, I would predict that the GM foods will play out the same way. I mean, we know what the dose level is, and so now you can feed that dogs and cats, and you find out, well, it doesn't kill them in the first 3 weeks or 3 months, and so let's feed it to the people, and we'll do that for 10 or 15, 20 years and find out then what happens. And then like thalidomide, one day you'll wake up and find out it causes genetic mutations. Oh, my God! Who would have thought such a thing? Who would have ever suspected that genetically modified foods would do such a thing? After all, we trusted Monsanto and Pfizer, didn't we? Well, the noose is slowly tightening. It's an all-out offensive, and it's been launched, past tense, using the three most important instruments of economic power, the World Trade Organization, the World Bank, and the International Monetary Fund. And along with badly bruised but democratically elected governments, this time the target is not oil, but to force the world to accept genetically modified foods and crops. Now, in reality, the battle for controlling the global food chain has already begun. The American administration, that is the Bush administration, fired the first missile by formally launching in May a complaint with the World Trade Organization against the European Union for its 5-year ban on approving new biotech crops, setting the stage for an international showdown over an increasingly controversial issue. Interestingly, U.S. Trade Representative Robert Zoellick says the European policy is illegal and that it harms the American economy, stunts the growth of biotech industries, and contributes to increased starvation in the developing world. Well, he knows old Mark Twain said there's lies and damn lies, and that's one of them. Coinciding with the frontal attack through the dispute panel is a seemingly harmless exercise to close ranks around flawed economic policies. Senior officials of the World Trade Organization and the IMF World Bank met at Geneva in May to deliberate on how to bring greater coherence in their policies through liberalization of trade and financial flows, deregulation, privatization, and budget austerity. Now, as if loan conditions of the IMF World Bank that have forced developing countries to lower their trade barriers, to cut subsidies for their domestic food producers, and to eliminate safety nets for rural agriculture were not enough. The World Trade Organization agreement on agriculture could be used very effectively to allow America and 12 other food exporting countries to dump unwanted genetically altered foods, thereby destroying food self-sufficiency in developing countries and expanding markets for the large grain exporting companies. The overt and covert mechanization in order to push unhealthy and risky GM foods actually began 10 years ago. Now, the United States has so far opposed the Cartagena Protocol in biosafety, which has been signed by over 100 countries and was intended to ensure, through agreed international rules and regulations, that countries have the necessary information to make informed choices about genetically modified foods and crops. Well, earlier, the United States had made every possible attempt to see that the Cartagena Protocol did not come through. And when it did, the United States preferred to stay away. Now, whether it's Cartagena Protocol or the Kyoto Protocol, the United States continues to defy international efforts to ensure food safety. Even the Convention on Biological Diversity was ratified by the United States at a stage when it realized that it had nothing to lose in the event of adequate protection granted by the trade-related intellectual property rights. The United States continues to hold the world's largest collection of plant germplasm, some 600,000 plants, which actually belongs to the developing world. These plant collections, forcibly held in custody, are the raw material for the multi-billion dollar American biotechnology industry. In addition, the biotechnology industry has earned an estimated $5.4 billion from this biopiracy alone. Now, with biotech patents coming into force and the definition of microorganisms extended to include genes and cell lines, the United States has ensured that once the TRIP agreement is internationally harmonized in the year 2005, it will be the beginning of the end for public sector research in agriculture in developing countries. In the words of a former chairman of the Consultative Group and International Agriculture Research, Dr. Ismail Sarajlan, whenever the product and process patents in food and agriculture come into effect, it will be a scientific apartheid against the third world nations. Agricultural research, which has been instrumental in ushering in food self-sufficiency in many of these third world countries in the post-Green Revolution era, is being gradually dismantled. And the process or the program itself is under tremendous pressure from the agribusiness corporations. These corporations see it as the main obstacle in the process of control and manipulation. Now, with research priorities shifting, from national requirements to servicing the biotechnology industry as it is in India, it will only be a matter of time before developing countries begin to return to the frightening days of the ship-to-mouth existence. Food aid to starving populations is about meeting the urgent humanitarian needs of those who are, in fact, in dire need around the world. Ideally, it should not be to push the commercial interests of the biotechnology corporations while staying away from the international consensus such as the Cartagena Protocol or planting GM crops for export or indeed finding outlets for domestic surplus. First, finding an outlet for its mounting food surplus through the midday meal scheme for African children, force-fed through the World Food Program, these GM surplus crops that nobody else wants to buy, the United States then literally arm-twisted four African countries into accepting this GM food at the height of the food scarcity that prevailed in Central and Southern Africa in 2002. To say this is blackmail is an understatement. It even tried forcing the International Federation of the Red Cross to lift the GM food as part of an international emergency so as to feed the hungry in Africa. Well, it didn't work. Zambia led the resistance against GM food, saying that it would prefer its poor to die rather than to feed them with unhealthy food. The United States has finally found a way to circumvent and then to force the African countries into submission. The U.S. Senate passed a bill entitled The United States Leadership Against HIV, AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria. It was an act passed in 2003 called H.R. 1298, which in a diplomatic way links financial aid for combating HIV/AIDS with GM food acceptance. So, if these countries want the HIV/AIDS money, then they have to accept the GM foods as a part of the package. So when President Bush offered this $15 billion package to combat AIDS, do you remember that? A lot of fanfare went on. Boy, the United States is just sitting in the wings over here, and we just want to help. We just want to help all you poor folks over there that are suffering from AIDS and HIV, and we're going to take $15 billion of American taxpayer money. See, what we taxpayers over here in America didn't know was that Congress and the President, working together, had linked this genetically modified food. See, they got all this GM food stockpiled. And that's because you and I don't want to buy it. And the nations of Europe don't want to buy it. And the nations of Africa, even if they're starving to death, don't want to take it. I mean, that's how popular this crap is. Now, there's an agenda underway. And as a part of that agenda, the genetically modified foods calls for patenting. And what the multinational corporations, the agribusiness food corporations, want is a patent on the food so that as a matter of law, they can lock it up and prevent you from planting it. And that's what the game plan is all about. The day is coming when you won't be able to buy a package of seeds down at your local store that hasn't been patented. And it'll be against the law for you to save those seeds until next year. And if you get caught doing it, you'll be prosecuted. Just like you will be today. If they catch you downloading a song off of the internet, they'll prosecute you for it, if they can catch you. Now, of course, there'll be a lot of people that'll be out there bootlegging these seeds. There's no doubt about that, just like people are out there bootlegging these songs. But can you see where we're headed? And for the most part, they will lock up 90% of the world's food production. Now, that's where we're headed. The 10% that they won't lock up will be little guys like me that are out here on a farm, have our own open pollinated seeds, been here for years and years, and are grandfathered in. But it's a legal move is what it is. And if you pay attention now to what's going on around you, governments and corporations, all of the transnational corporations feed off the law. They go to Congress and they get the law passed, and then once they get the law passed, then they profit from it at our expense. That's the name of the game. It's always been that way. It's always the law. It's always law that they rely upon. Well, Section 104A states that the individuals infected with HIV have higher nutritional requirements than individuals who are not infected with HIV, particularly with respect to the need for protein. And also, there is evidence to suggest that the full benefit of therapy to treat HIV/AIDS may not be achieved in individuals who are malnourished, particularly in pregnant and lactating women. So the next sentence reads, it is therefore the sense of Congress that the United States food assistance should be accompanied and accepted by countries with large populations of individuals infected or living with HIV/AIDS, particularly African countries, in order to help feed such individuals. The underlying objective is very clear. The United States can use the verdict to stop humanitarian aid for HIV/AIDS unless the recipient countries first buy GM food, killing two birds with one stone, so to speak. Now, the purpose here is not to heal or to cure these people with AIDS. The purpose is to kill those people with AIDS by giving them GM-modified food, which is less nutrition than open-pollinated foods. See, when you take a look at the populations around the world and ask yourself, well, how many of those native populations in third world countries have dental caries? And the answer is, well, until they come in with Western food, that is white sugar and white flour, they don't. And how many of those third world backward nations have diabetes? Well, they don't until we introduce them to Coca-Cola and Sprite. Disease is exported from the West to those countries that are underdeveloped. I find it hard to understand why a country is underdeveloped if they don't have diabetes, AIDS, and other Western degenerative diseases. Seems like to me that those are advanced countries, doesn't it? I would say that if in America your cancer rate went from 1 in 33 in 1900 to 1 in 2 in 2000, that is a degeneration. That's not an advancement, is it? Well, they go on here and they say this is not an isolated effort. The Rockefeller Foundation, in collaboration with the Madison Institute, had earlier launched a project called the Madison Initiative, under the guise of humanitarian aid and support. The Madison Initiative was aimed at pushing GM crops to tide over the increasing food insecurity arising from the growing vulnerability of HIV/AIDS-affected economies, the basic premise being that HIV/AIDS has taken a heavy toll of able-bodied rural males in most parts of Africa, and as a result, there is not enough manpower left in the rural areas to undertake agricultural operations, such as spraying of pesticides. Therefore, these countries must accept GM crops like BT corn, which they say will require less chemical sprays. They say that it will take less chemical sprays. It's not true. It's a damn lie. This is what Mark Twain used to say. It's a damn lie. It takes the same amount, and before long, it'll take more. Now, there's an agenda out there. The agenda is the reduction of the Earth's population of useless eaters by 90% over the next 50 to 60 years. Now, that's the agenda. That's the plan. In order to do that, we've got to get control of the world's food crop and food supplies. And the multinational corporations in the United States are in the forefront of doing just that. The Europeans are resisting it, and the Asians are resisting it. Well, good for them. The Africans aren't in a position to resist. Not only did we unleash the AIDS epidemic upon the blacks of Africa, keep in mind, all you black listeners out there, the objective of the whites is to exterminate all the blacks. Now, it isn't the average white guy on the street that's intending to do that, but the elites, you know, the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund and Monsanto, and those are the people that have an agenda. It's called Global 2000, and that's the program. Now, you don't believe for a minute now, do you, that the Congress of the United States is ignorant and that I'm telling you people out there something that your average local representative or senator doesn't know? Hell, they're part of the problem. They're not the solution. Voting for these guys is not going to solve your problem. And locking yourself up in the cities is not going to solve your problem, as we just found over at our local health food store. Now, you can rest assured that we're not going to be doing a whole lot of business with that health food store. But it's a point for each and every one of us. Caveat emptor. It's up to you to check the fat content of the meatballs and the refried beans. If you assume, because you go into a health food store, that the foods that they're delivering to you are not GM or don't have fat or don't have, you know, if you're a vegetarian or a vegan, and you go into a health food store, aren't you presuming that the foods that you're buying don't have any meat in them? Isn't that why you go to a health food store? I mean, we buy our foods in a health food store because we rely upon the guy operating the health food store. You didn't suspect now that he was slipping something in on you. I thought that was something that Kraft and French's Mustard did. I didn't know that it was something that's being done in the health food store. Now, that's the first and only experience that I've had so far in dealing with a health food store where they have given me tainted food. You know, I'm an old man. I've been buying in health food stores for a lot of years. But that was a shocker. No, we can't guarantee that that isn't GM. Well, if they couldn't guarantee it, they shouldn't have it on the shelf. They should be up front with us and say, no, we don't have cornstarch. We don't have cornmeal. We don't have corn products in our health food store because we can't guarantee that they're GM free. And I found that out with my chicken feed. Down here at Terry's, we wanted to buy GM, free or open pollinated corn. And Terry says, well, there isn't any selection process and there isn't any way for us to get it. So the answer is no, we can't. And I don't know what the percentage is now. 60 or 80% of the U.S. corn crop is now all GM. So in order for us to buy corn here in the United States, we have to go around and look for some guy that's got open-pollinated, non-GM corn. And I'm a little guy, and I don't have enough buying power. I mean, I can't buy a truck and trailer load of corn, but I'm getting to the point where I'm almost going to have to do that, aren't I? Now, this article comes from the... Let me cite it here for you. The December 2003. This is December 2003, Acres USA. If you'd like to get a copy, or if you'd like to get a subscription, I recommend that all of my students subscribe to Acres USA. The number is 1-800-355-5313. Again, that's 1-800-355-5313. Just ask them, how do I subscribe? It's dirt cheap. It's $27 a year here in the United States. $32 for you guys up in Canada. Before long, though, you Canadians, it's going to be $27 Canadian and $32 American here before very long. But the moral of the story is that Acres USA is dedicated to sustainable agriculture, economic biodiversity, protection of the environment, and organic food production. Now, that's quite a list. And it's the only news magazine that I know of in the United States. Now, I'm not saying they're the only ones, but I'm saying they're the only ones that I know of, other than probably Rodale Press and maybe a couple others, that are dedicated to this whole concept of organic food production. Now, we produce most of what we eat right here on the farm. Franklin Sanders, I know, does the same thing, and I recommend to my students that you get out of the city and get back on the farm. You need a 40-acre farm, free and clear. And you want to know something? Most of you people living in the cities right now have enough equity in your homes to sell your house and take the equity out of it and buy a farm out here in rural America. Do you know that? So why are so many of you locked up in the city struggling to make ends meet when you could get out of that rat race and produce some good, healthful, nutritious food for yourselves and for your families? Well, this initiative was to be executed by CGIAR as an active partner. This almost looks like a cigar there. And such was the desperation that agricultural scientists had actually gone and met former President Moi of Kenya, who had agreed to officially support the initiative, which was subsequently to be extended to other African countries, including South Africa, and then India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Thailand, and other parts of Southeast Asia. Now, many of these countries and many of their governmental leaders do not want this BT corn. They do not want genetically modified products. But they're caught between a rock and a hard spot. In a blackmail operation by the United States, our Congress, and our multinational food giants, our multinational corporations. Now, they have gotten the corn production. They were in the process of taking over the wheat production in the United States, which is a big export item. And so many of the other countries of the world said, the minute that you GM your wheat, you're going to lose your whole market over here. So the wheat farmers in this country backed off, and they said, well, if that's going to be the case, then we're not going to do it. I would say that right now, genetic modification is on hold. You can rest assured that they want to get rid of the stocks that they've got. They're going to continue to foist this crap off on us as long as they can get away with it. Because pretty shortly, we Americans will get tired, and we won't be paying attention. And they'll slip one past Congress, and then they'll slip another one past Congress, and before long, when the Fuhrer dies down, we won't know what happened, and pretty soon they'll genetically modify everything that we've got. That's the game plan. That's what their plan is. And as soon as they can affect it, they'll do it. So if you're interested in, and if you want to maintain a good food supply, you're going to have to produce your own. I mean, that's just where reality is located. You may rely upon the health food store for a while longer, but I've mentioned this in the past, that I was suspicious about what's coming out of the health food store. Now I've got my first confirmation coming out of the health food store. And it's not going to be just the cornstarch, boys and girls. It's going to be a whole plethora of other products that are in there. That's why I prefer getting my olive oil from Italy. I prefer getting my food products from overseas and out of the country because there's less chance that it's going to be genetically modified, less chance that it's going to be polluted. It's a hell of a renvoi on what used to be. America used to produce most of the food, the best food, best quality. Not anymore. I don't want this produced in the USA crap. I'd rather get olive oil from Italy and apricots from Turkey or corn from Mexico than I would from the United States. That's assuming I could get corn from Mexico. I'll bet you that it's against the law to import corn into the United States that isn't genetically modified. I'll just bet you somewhere they got a law. All right, let me give you a couple of reminders here. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to my website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call the law school direct for more information about our General Law CD package, which is free of charge. Just call and ask for yours. It's 417-273-4967. Hey, while we're on the subject of genetically modified food, I wanted to give you a couple of little insights here to show you that it isn't just GM, it's other factors that come into play. Let me find a little bookmark here, and let me stick that in right here. Listen to this story here. The feminine factor. Estrogen feminizes male fish, and it also bestows feminine markers on the males of mammal and probably insect life as well. This common sense fact was tested by scientists by inserting residue of birth control pills into lake waters. Canadians used similar products to measure this hypothesis. In 3 years, all male fish, frogs, and aquatic life became feminine. Egg proteins started growing out of place, meaning in the male. The experiment was meant to measure the effect that estrogen, which is an effluent and sewer treatments, were having on bodies of water later used for a drinking water supply. Now let me pause here for a second. Did you hear that last sentence? Let me repeat that last sentence. This experiment was meant to measure the effect that estrogen in effluent and sewer treatments were having on bodies of water later used for a drinking water supply. Where do you people in Chicago get your water? Isn't it out of Lake Michigan? And where do you people on the Mississippi River get your water? Isn't it out of the Mississippi River? Now, not only is the guy up in Dubuque, Iowa, flushing his toilet, which goes through the sewer treatment plant and is treated with all of the appropriate chemicals for you people down at St. Louis to drink, but also we have this estrogen going into the water from birth control pills and other sources. And what do you think that's going to have? What kind of an effect is that going to have? See why I'm telling you that the city is a bad place for you to live? That's why the prophet Isaiah, at the mouth of God, said, "Woe be unto those that build their houses wall to wall." Woe be unto those that build their houses wall to wall. You crowd yourselves together in ever more densely packed and populated areas like Manhattan, New York, or Hong Kong, or Mexico City. And then you wonder why you've got all these diseases, all of these maladies. Well, there's more to the story. Some fish grew eggs in their testes. The entire population of the flathead minnow crashed to near zero because hormone-stoked fish couldn't reproduce. Males seem to respond to an overload of estrogen in a very predictable way, according to a paper presented to the American Chemistry Council. That hormones may be hurting wildlife has been observed before. The effect of soybean-based estrogen on sexual development has been made a matter of record in New Zealand, where male birds became part female. The Canadian study seemed to ask whether estrogen was affecting the human male population. A recent study in Environmental Health Perspectives found that rural men had lower sperm counts when exposed to certain pesticides which mimic estrogens. More subtle is the estrogen content of extenders in fast food hamburgers. May I repeat that? More subtle is the estrogen content of extenders in fast food hamburgers. Hamburgers. Big Macs. Some youngsters almost live on this type of food, and although powerful, this source is small compared to estrogen that escapes treatment plants and ends up in rivers and lakes, even ocean shelves, and sexual oddities in animals such as hermaphroditism are being assigned to this chemical family. Disruption of the endocrine system is assumed. A few cattlemen have made the connection with the herd bull's inability to settle cows and have withheld soybean meal from feedstock. Canada has a few remote lakes that are being used for probing nature's secrets and revulsions. These lakes are hours away from population centers. The answer to some parts of this problem, taking civilization for what it is, may be finding the microorganisms that can dismantle estrogen compounds, either with their power or longer residence in the treatment plant. Well, not only do you have a problem with genetically modified foods, you also have a problem here with estrogen going through your sewage treatment plants back into the Mississippi River to be drank by you people in New Orleans, St. Louis, and other river cities downstream from the sewage treatment plants of the cities upstream. I guess the solution to you people on the Mississippi is that you don't want to live in New Orleans, you want to live in Minnesota. So you can be the first guy to take a crap in the river. I mean, that's where reality's at, boys and girls, let's face it. Is that really what you want to drink? I mean, you know, settled that it's went through the treatment plant. You really sure you want to drink that? Now, here in the Ozarks, our water is still clean, but if it wasn't clean, I wouldn't be drinking it. I'd be drinking bottled water. Now, I also have bottled water, and then when I go somewhere, I don't drink the water. I take my own water with me. And I think that most of us, if we got our heads on straight at all, have stopped drinking the water because of the chlorine and the fluoride that's been put in it by our municipalities 20, 30, 40 years ago now, didn't we? I mean, if you want to maintain your health. Now, of course, if you want to drink chlorinated water, eat the hamburger with the estrogen extenders in it, not down at your local hamburger joint. I mean, that's a choice for you to make. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. But let me tell you, the food supply here in the United States has been polluted for 40 years. 40 years. And it's only getting worse. It's not getting any better. It's getting worse. Now let's take a look at burger irradiation. Here was another little part to the story. The radiation-treated hamburgers are rapidly becoming the norm in fast food joints. As the burger sizzles, the customer remains unaware of the special treatment frozen prefab patties replete with soybean meal fix have received. Remember that soybean meal? It's called an extender. See, meat costs more than soybean. Now, we actually buy soybean hamburger. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but maybe most of you are, but some of you may not be. You can actually buy soybean hamburger patties. They're 100% vegetarian. And there's canned products, like you can get vegetarian sausage links that are no meat. They're 100% vegetarian, and they're made out of soybean. Now, of course, this soybean meal, if it's got this estrogen in it, may not be too good for you. Maybe we ought to be thinking about and looking into this soybean extender a little bit more. Does it have estrogen in it? And if so, why? What's the need for doing that? They're being irradiated. It's a trade practice that brings joy to Bureaudom, which is always on the lookout for E. coli contamination. E. coli migrating out of the animal's colons to contaminate feedlot beef has become a pervasive fact of life, and irradiation is perceived to quell the resultant biological storm. So we're doing the same thing now to hamburger that we did to milk. When you put all these cattle together on a feedlot, it gives you a scale of economy in the feeding of all of these animals. You see, when I produce a beef cow out here on grass-fed rangeland here on my farm, the scale of economy is so low that I have to get more money for my cow to pay for all of that. So we discovered years ago that if you put these cows on a feedlot, you can feed them with less labor and you can cut the costs of production. But when you put these cows together like human beings, you crowd them together, you increase disease. And E. coli is a bad bacteria that we all have down in our gut. And these cows that are close together pick up that E. coli from the other cows. See, my cows are diverse. They're scattered all over. So the cows are eating grass, and they don't pick up that E. coli that they do in a feedlot. So the choice is, we got to produce clean beef by having cows in less dense environments, which is less economical. Now, we don't want to do that, do we? So the solution is, let's kill the E. coli with the irradiation. Now, what does that do to the nutrients in the meat? What does that do to the meat? What does that do to human health? Nobody's got a clue. We don't know. We're experimenting on the American population. We'll find out in 10 or 20 years. Just like you found out, you know, with this Vioxx. After you experimented on the human population for a while, it'll come out that it kills people. And evidently, that's what we Americans want. Now, if that's not what you want to buy into, well, then you ought to, you know, be aware of it. Stop doing it. The problem is that irradiation makes food difficult to digest, that irradiation affects the trace mineral keys to enzymes is being both ignored and debated. And Dairy Queens and the like proudly proclaim irradiation with table tents at first, but the great art of irradiation goes unannounced nowadays. So they're irradiating your food, your hamburger, in this country, but you don't know anything about it. Well, now you do, I just told you. Well, the candidate complained about fuzzy math, and then after being squeaked into office, the fuzzy math really got started. The best estimate these days is that the budget deficit is going to reach and probably exceed $7 trillion, about $245 billion more than the offerings in the public prints. Now, that's getting mighty close to $2 billion a day, $2 billion a day. The Treasury must now flood the market with billions of dollars in securities. Bond prices will sink and push interest rates through the roof. These bonds will divert some trade from other investments. The Fed will buy most of them. They'll then deposit what they purchase on tick and draw cash, a gift more or less. The procedure will cause mortgages to soar. The 30-year rate of 6.2% will escalate, this up from 5.2% a few months ago. The days of refinancing the home for extra cash to spend appear to be over. The employment rate appears to have stabilized, but only because some 500,000 people have now quit looking for work. Third world countries must figure that misery loves company, because at Cancun they want farm payments in the United States removed, bankrupting the large grain and other producers, this making everyone equal on the floor. And all of the above and much more suggests that at least one of those presidential candidates stop running for another 6 months and find a public policy that addresses the blunders of our time. Right now, they all appear to be out in left field with their shoes off. So says Acres USA. Just thought I'd throw that one in. Another little piece of economic news that we're all so excited about. Genetic modification is going to have an economic outcome. An economic outcome at some point in time. So just get ready for it. If you're living in the city, I teach a class on how to make $100,000 a year on 25 acres or less. Now, most of you people living in the city, you know, think about, my God, how would I make a living if I was out on the farm? Well, let me tell you a little story. The other day, I had a student come down here to class. And while he was here, he bought 11 acres. He bought 11 acres right here in Isabella, Missouri. He paid $2,000 down and assumed the payments. Now, I'm not telling you that all the great real estate buys are here. I'm just telling you that I don't know how much ground you've got where you live in Cleveland or New York or Chicago, but here's a guy from California came out here and bought 11 acres for $2,000 plus the payments. Of course, he got paid off. Total price on this 11 acres, I think, was $100,000. Oh, I forgot to tell you, it's got 11 rental units on it. I think that's what it was, 10 or 11 rental units. Now, the idea that you have to live in the city to make a living is poppycock. This same guy pays $1.50 a quart for milk. Of course, he buys raw milk. And you have to pay a premium when you buy good food. And that's why I've been telling you people, you know, for a long time. There are about 4,000 of these little economic units all over the United States. And I have a few cows. And I sell a little beef and a little milk once in a while. I never sold it for $1.50 a quart, but that's what they're paying in California to get clean, raw, whole milk. $1.50 a quart, and I imagine that's fair to middle and reasonable. Milk is selling for about $4 a gallon now. $1.50 a quart, of course, is about $6 a gallon, which is fairly reasonable. About 50% more to get good, clean milk. Well, it's either that or you got to buy the homogenized, pasteurized milk out of the grocery store, and that's what gives you diabetes and clogs up your veins and arteries and gives you a heart attack and arterial sclerosis and atherosclerosis and so on. Which is why you pay $10,000 a year for health insurance. Now, I don't have any health insurance. My biggest fear in life is that somebody's going to force it upon me. That's what my concern is. I avoid health insurance like I avoid GM foods. Now, getting back to the GM food story, back in 1986, the United States had similarly enacted Bumper's Amendment, which prohibited agricultural development activities, consultation, publication, conference, or training in connection with the growth and production in a foreign country with an agricultural commodity for export, which would compete with a similar commodity grown or produced here in the United States. Now, as a result of that policy, American support for research and development for crops that competed with those grown in the United States was stopped. No wonder the FAO and the CGIAR and numerous other developing country agricultural programs continue to remain starved for financial support. With national research programs closing down for paucity of funds, the field is now open for the biotech industry to simply move in and take over. Never in the past history has any government stepped in to force down the world's throat, literally, what it produces. Never before has the world been forced to accept technologies, however risky they might be, in the name of the poor, or in the name of the hungry, or in the name of sustainable development. Never before has any country in the world tried to force feed a hungry continent by creating a false scenario of an impending famine that never happened. Never before has science and technology been sacrificed in such a shameful manner for the sake of commercial growth and profits. I mean, we're seeing something that's brand new here. But this isn't a program that's not well thought out. I mean, these people aren't doing this for no good purpose. I mean, there's a reason behind it. And it's world population control. That's the bottom line. That's the reason behind it. Now, what's been forgotten in this tragedy is that the good science has been given a quiet burial. On the other hand, the party for the biotechnology industry has just begun. The reality of hunger and malnutrition is harsh. Hunger cannot be removed by producing transgenic crops with genes for beta-carotene. Hunger cannot be addressed by providing mobile phones to rural communities, nor can it be eradicated by providing the poor and the hungry with an informed choice of novel foods. Somehow, the international community misses the ground rule realities. It misses the forest because of the trees in an effort to bolster the commercial interests of the biotech industries. Through over-enthusiasm to promote an expensive technology at the cost of the poor, what has been overlooked is that biotechnology has the potential to further the great divide between the haves and the have-nots. While the political leadership is postponing the monumental task of halving the number of the world's hungry, the scientific community has found an easy escape route. At almost all of the genetic engineering laboratories, the focus of research is on transgenic crops that add to profits, not to food stocks. It adds to profits, but not food stocks. Edible vaccines and biofortification to address the problems of malnutrition by incorporating genes for vitamin A, iron, and other micronutrients. What they're aiming at here is, how do you make profit? I was reading an article the other day, and they've got some pretty neat scientific programs underway. They're producing crops or producing plants that will produce an exorbitant amount of vitamin A or an exorbitant amount of iron or something else. What we're in effect saying is that God screwed up back at creation, didn't know what he was doing when he designed these food crops, and so we're going to fix his mistake. And if you believe that, then get right after it. Don't let me get in your way. My observation is, and I'm a farmer, been a farmer all my life, that God didn't do a bad job at creation. We did a bad job at carrying out our instructions. The reason that we have land Sabbaths and Jubilees is to re-fertilize the land. That's the purpose behind it. We've missed that purpose. The most profitable business ever created by the mind of God is agriculture. To give you an illustration, you take one kernel of corn, you stick it in the ground. God causes the rain, God causes the sun, and God created the soil. All you did was put in the labor. You dug a hole and you put this kernel of corn in the ground. You come back 4 months later and you reap 2 ears of corn. Now that's pretty simple, isn't it? And the profit margin on your labor is 87,200% return. You'll get 872 kernels back for the one kernel that you put in the ground. It's 87,200%. Banking is profitable, but it's not that profitable. Insurance is profitable, but it's not that profitable. How then can a farmer take that kind of a program and run it in the ground and go bankrupt? We'll add biotechnology, interest and usury, banking, and paper money. Stir that into the pot, and yes, you too can go bankrupt, even with an 87,200% return on your investment. Now, that's what we've done to agriculture here in the United States, and we want to export that around the world. And I'm sitting here saying, well, I'm not going to buy into that program. I'm going to stick with the original 87,200%, stay away from the biotechnology and the paper money, stay away from the usury and the interest, and stay away from the bankers, And by all means, stay away from the government. You know, if you never do business with a thief, you'll never be stolen from. If you never do business with a thief, you'll never be stolen from. How many of you do business with the mafia? See? I told you. Now, most of us don't do business with the mafia, and we're not being stolen from by the mafia. How many of you do business with the government? And how many of you have been stung by the government, have been lied to, cheated, ripped off? Now I'll rest my case. What's been forgotten in the first instance is that unless hunger is removed, the hidden hunger of malnutrition cannot be eradicated. In other words, if the global scientific and development community were to aim at eradicating hunger at the first instance, there would be very little malnutrition. Much of the existing hunger in the world is because of lopsided trade and economic policies that keep the farmers in rich countries plump with massive subsidies, the resulting impact of which creates more hunger, more malnutrition, and destitution in the majority of the world. Much of the world's hunger and the crisis on the farm front is because of the massive subsidies that continue to be paid in the richest trading bloc, the OECD. So let us not forget that subsidies are paid not only to keep the minuscule population of farmers on either side of the Atlantic happy, but also to keep the elected governments in the saddle. The U.S. Farm Security and Rural Investment Act, for example, was signed at the beginning of May 2002, bringing in an additional $180 billion to eligible farmers over the next 10 years. Now, this was a small price to be paid from the state exchequer for the sparsely populated but agricultural frontline Midwest region. George Bush badly needed a Republican majority in the Senate, and senatorial elections took place in 2002, and the promise of a Farm Act delivered it. You know, money talks, doesn't it? And after all, that's what we're all interested in, is money. But that's not where good food comes from. And if you want good food, you'll have to produce it yourself. Don't take for granted that what you're buying in the health food store is not genetically modified. You better be asking to find out. All right, now the Law Hour is just about out of time. So the Law Hour, an editorial review, brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events. And we do that from the scriptural perspective, and we do it 7 days a week. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are believed to be true, accurate, and correct, at least to the best of our knowledge and belief. We try to check on our facts. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to the authors and publications used on this program and often endorses and recommends the books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. And this is called the Acres USA magazine. You can probably order a subscription by calling this toll-free number. It's 1-800-355-5313. 1-800-355-5313. They're down in Austin, Texas. I highly recommend Acres USA. Well, keep in mind that the endorsements or recommendations that we give on this program do not necessarily mean that the authors or the publications that we recommend or endorse will reciprocate. So if you get a bad report and somebody says, oh, that crazy Law Hour, I think that Gordon's a nut, don't be overly surprised. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to the website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. I'm out of time. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. So until then, good night, friends.